Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 19th of September. I'm Paul White. We're in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We laid out sort of an overview of what Paul is trying to accomplish in this pattern of self-denial, this statement that an apostle is no different than anyone else, should be able to take payment for what he does. I want to start to work through these verses individually. We'll not stay here too long. I think a lot of this sort of goes together. There's a lot of quick questions and answers. As I said yesterday, a little bit of sarcasm. We'll pick up on that as we go. Paul asks, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? That's an interesting one because Paul did not consider the moment on the road to Damascus to be this false vision that led to his salvation. I think Paul really believed he had seen Jesus, and I think he did. But also beyond that, Paul claims to have received the gospel of grace, the message of the new covenant, directly from the Lord Jesus. And so this is something that happens not just on the road to Damascus, but later. The interesting thing is that the early church, they don't seem to have a problem with Paul saying he got these things from Jesus. We would struggle with this now. If someone were to come to us and say, I saw Jesus today and he told me this, a lot of us would think, well, that's kooky. You didn't see Jesus. You might have saw an angel. You might have saw something else, but you didn't see Jesus. Paul believed he did. And what do we do with that? How do we handle that? Do these sort of things stop happening after the New Testament? Do these sort of things happen now? We just don't hear of them. I think maybe they happen now, and maybe we just don't hear of them. Maybe they happen now, and we don't recognize it as the Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes, and Paul will talk about this later, but sometimes we entertain angels unawares, and what that might mean is just watch out, because sometimes you don't realize there's a whole lot more going on than you realize. You know, there's more things happening than you see happening. There's things happening in the realm of the spirit, while if you're not careful, you're locked into the realm of the natural. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I'm not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you're the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. You're my certification, in other words. My defense to those who examine me is this: do we have no right to eat and drink? Someone's been examining the fact that Paul is supported financially in one way or the other many times by the churches in which he's preaching. And some people seem to have a problem with that. Paul's entering a new dimension. We've been in this for 2,000 years now, where a portion of ministry, itinerant ministry, local pastorate ministry, evangelical ministry, missionary ministry, they're supported by the local church. We don't have that happening in Jewish history. Jewish history, you supported the priesthood with your offering, with your tithe, with your donations. And the priesthood had to be supported because the priesthood did not receive inheritance when the children of Israel entered the promised land. All of the tribes except Levi were given portions of property. So they had a place and a way to make money, a way to provide for their families. The tribe of Levi did not have that. They had to survive off of what came into the tabernacle. Well, God had to legalize what came into the tabernacle. And I'll get to that in a moment. I mean legalize in that God had to set fees for people to give. And what he set was that they had to give X amount through their offering. Whatever they gave in an offering stayed in the tabernacle, and the priests got to eat it. That's why the offerings had all kinds of things in them. God didn't just say, okay, bring lambs. No, God had you bringing meal offerings where you'd put flour in it and oil and honey. And the reason for that is so that the priesthood would have a diverse diet. It wasn't just because God wanted to make the offerings more complicated. He was providing for the diversity of the priesthood. the tithe was on the first fruits of your harvest. It wasn't every dime you made. If you went out and made, and I'm going to use an anachronism here because they didn't have dollars, but if you went out and made $10, you didn't owe the Lord a dollar. You harvested your fields at the end of the year and you tithed on that. It wasn't something that happened on a daily basis. But that went into the priesthood. There was also coins for redemption. They would take an annual census, and those coins of redemption were almost like a tax that your family paid. That money went to the priesthood. Now, they didn't take up special offerings. They didn't come around and ask for money. So God had to legalize it. And part of the reason he had to legalize it was because the people in Israel did not have the Holy Spirit speaking in their hearts. The New Testament makes a big deal of John the Baptist being filled with the Holy Spirit. It makes a big deal of it because people didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament, the Holy Spirit rested upon people. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit was to have access to the ear of God and the mouth of God. He would hear you and you would hear him. Moses got to experience that. Elijah got to experience that. David got to experience. There was moments of that in the Old Testament. When the Holy Spirit comes on the scene, you and I are not under the legal obligations because the Holy Spirit is our legal obligation. So Paul is one of the first to move out into this deeper water of, okay, what if the ministry was not a priesthood standing in a temple, killing lambs and offering up incense, and instead it was someone who went out and built up local pockets of believers and spent his life taking care of them and studying for them and providing for them and listening to them. Paul says, don't I have a right to eat and drink? 5, don't we have a right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? And here's the sarcasm. Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? In other words, Barnabas and I, we can't hold down a 40-hour-a-week job, a 60-hour-a-week job, and do this. So shouldn't we be able to refrain from doing this in order that we can apostle the church and help the church and disciple the church? Or is it only Barnabas and I that are not allowed to do that? There's the sarcasm. So the question starts 2,000 years ago and still stands to this day. And I go into a lot of places, and I have a lot of you that are listening that are in ministry, but you're not in full-time ministry. You're in what we call bivocational ministry a lot of times, where you're working a job, then you're also pastoring a church. And I honor that. You do what you must do, and some guys don't want to go full time because they have something they love on as their job or their career, and it's not conducive for them to go full time, and it's working out perfect for them to do it the way they're doing it. It doesn't make you more holy or better at your job or more loving because you're not full time, and conversely, it doesn't make you any of those things because you are full time. There's no indicator that the best don't hold a second job, or, well, the ones who are actually genuine always hold a second job. Paul doesn't want to fight that fight. Paul wants to say, shouldn't we be able to eat and drink of our labors? And I think the answer is yes, but I think what we need to do is realize what a path-breaking moment this was, because there's not a lot of precedent for this in the time of the Apostle Paul. I get to do what I do because a big reason why I get to do what I do is I don't go do other things. So I don't have another job on the side or as my career, and then I do this. So people say to me a lot of times, wow, how do you put out so much content? And I feel like, how could I not put out so much content? It's my life. You go to your job, I go to mine. So you go to your job and do what that is. I go to my job and do podcasts and edit videos and study for the next week's sermon and go out on the road and minister 3 or 4 days at a time and stay up late answering people's questions. And then I got to go back into my own little private time or office the next week to refuel and come up with something to say the next time. That's my job. And there's many just like that. There's others that don't have the time to do that. They do what they can do. And that's fine as well. The point being, operate and function where you are. And don't feel ashamed to take salary to do that, or other, because otherwise without it, you're going to have to do something else. And this is just one of those cold facts of life. Wherever you split your time, something is less than it would be if you didn't have to split your time. So if you do two jobs, both of the jobs could probably be done a little better if it was the only job being done. It doesn't mean you only need to do one job. Sometimes you'll get way more done doing two jobs than you would have one job, even though you might have done one job better, but still less gets done. So to each his own. Find out where the Holy Spirit would have you to do that, and give it the best that you can give it. We continue this breakdown over the next several days. I hope you have a great day. God bless.